Hallelujah. 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 Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I was listening to the song and the scripture and the prayer that took place, and it's just amazing how God can just put everything together. The first song says, let go. Let God have his way. And then in the scripture, it talks about, Lord, how excellent is thy name. And then the last song says, Jesus, Jesus, I love to praise your name, everlasting God. And he is our everlasting God. And it's for that reason that I stand before you on today. And I give honor to Jehovah God. I give honor to Jesus Christ, our Lord, and to the Holy Spirit of God, to Deacon John Inzer and Deacon Jermaine Garrett and any other deacons, to visiting clergy and New Hope family members. I bring you greetings in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I bring you greetings from our senior pastor of Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, Reverend Gary Hell Coulter, and members. And I give thanks for my husband who is here to support me. And if there are any guests joining, greetings in the mighty name of Jesus, our Savior. My brothers and sisters in Christ, as we celebrate Father's Day, a day set apart to honor fathers, I wonder about the emotions this day bring to different people based on their experiences with their fathers. Some are happy because of the relationship they have with their dad. It's been great. While others are saddened because of the loss of either death or abandonment of a father. If you're saddened today, I remind you that you have a heavenly Father that loves you and promises never to leave you. On today, I thank God for and honor fathers who have remained in their children's life. I thank God for men who stepped up to be fathers to children who are not their own biologically, but treat them as though they are. And I thank God for men who are good role models to children who don't have a father active in their life. May the Lord bless you abundantly. Happy Father's Day to you all dads or all fathers. Now that that's out of the way, I give God thanks also as we come in memory of fathers, men who have impacted our lives, who have transitioned from this life. We miss you, but rest in peace. There is a word from the Lord. Please turn with me to Matthew 14, verse 23-31. It's a very familiar scripture, but we'll see what the Lord have for you on today. Matthew 14, 23-31 reads, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? The word of the Lord for the people of God. The word of the Lord is already blessed. Let us pray. Father God, it's in the name of Jesus that we come before you on today, Lord God, to lift up your name, Father God. Lord God, we invoke your presence in the midst of us on today, Lord God. God, may the words that come from my mouth, O God, be what you have given unto me, O God, for such a time as this, for new hope and for the whole body of Christ. Father God, I just thank and praise you, O God, for your son Jesus, for making it all possible, O God, that we can come directly to you, O God, through him, Lord God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, who continue to live within us, O God, and encourage us, Lord God, and reveal who you are to us, and reveal your word unto us. So on today, Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would just have your way, O God. Let, O God, your daughters and sons see not me, O God, but see the God that lives in me and the one who sent me. This is my prayer unto you, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray and give you thanks and say amen and amen. I will be preaching from the topic, Hang On In There. Hang On In There. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't know about you, but sometimes it gets tiresome dealing with one crisis after another. And the thought is, what's next? Or when is this going to end? There is a song by a gospel artist, Kara Shear, titled Hang On In There. In the song, she asks a few important thought-provoking questions. They are, what you gonna do when your back is against the wall? How you gonna smile when it seems all hope is lost? Tell me, what you gonna do when you need a little more grace? How you gonna smile when they try to test your faith? But before we could pause to seriously think about the question and our responses, she encouraged us by suggesting, hang on in there. That's the message God wants you to hear today. God wants you to hang on in there. He sees your need and he will come through for you. One might ask, what do you mean to hang on in there? By definition, to hang on in there is to keep trying to do something and not to give up even though it might be difficult. To continue doing something in a determined way even though it is difficult. And to wait, be patient till things work out. Therefore, to hang on in there is to make up in our minds that we are going to keep trying to do whatever the Lord commands us to do and to not give up, even though the journey gets rough at times. My brothers and sisters in Christ, Matthew, the beginning book of the Gospels in the New Testament, is accredited to be written by Matthew, the disciple of Jesus. Yes, some would argue that it's written by an unknown writer. But whoever the writer is, there is a message from the Lord in it for us. As I look at Matthew 14 in the verse leading to the text, Jesus had gotten word that his cousin John the Baptist, who was imprisoned by Herod, was beheaded in prison. His head was cut off. When Jesus heard what happened, he removed himself and took a ship to a private area to be by himself. But when the people heard of it, they came out of the cities and followed him on foot. Here it is, Jesus got news about his cousin John's murder, but was unable to get time alone to grieve because others in need were pursuing him. Brethren, what do we do when the work of ministry places a demand on us that causes us to disregard our personal need to take care of others in need? Philippians 2:4 says, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. The Bible says Jesus, after seeing the huge crowd that followed him, he was moved with compassion and he healed their sick. On that evening, the disciples witnessed the miracle when Jesus fed 5,000 men besides women and children with 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. Immediately following that, Jesus made his disciples get into a ship. Some versions say a boat, to go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After the crowd's dismissal, Jesus again attempted to get some alone time. The Bible says Jesus went up to the mountain to pray, and when the evening came, he was there alone. By that time, the ship carrying the disciples was in the midst of the sea, being tossed by the waves because the wind was contrary or going against it. Mark's version says Jesus saw his disciples were laboring in rowing as the wind was going against them. But as Psalm 121:4-7 informs us, the Lord neither slumbers nor sleep, and he will preserve our soul. As I think about this new hope, I see you, the remnant, in a supernatural boat in the midst of the sea of life, laboring to carry on without a pastor and some of your members. But I want to encourage you that Jesus is praying for you. He is making intercession for you and is watching over you. It's hard sometimes, new hope, to move forward because of the wind that's going against your boat. You find your boat being tossed about by the waves of the pressure to find a pastor, the waves of unwavering faith at times, the waves of disappointment, the waves of disagreement, and the waves of everyone wanting to tell you what to do and how to do it, the waves of naysayers in your ears. But do you want to listen to what they are saying or what others are doing, or do you want to wait on Almighty God? What do you do when the waves come? The answer is you must hang on in there. Keep working. Keep rowing together and don't watch the waves crashing against your boat. Don't be bothered by the wind that is contrary, trying to stop you from getting to where the Lord has directed you to go. Don't worry, because the Lord is getting ready to show up on your behalf. Hallelujah, God. Continuing in the text, the Bible says in the fourth watch of the night, which starts around 3 a.m., but can be anywhere between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning, here comes Jesus to the head of his disciples, walking on water. Brethren, I don't know about you, but I have read this passage of scripture a few times. And it was only as the Lord, through his Holy Spirit, was giving me the message to bring to you that my focus was shifted to the time frame. I never looked at it before. You see, looking back at Matthew 14:23-24, it says, when the evening was come, Jesus saw the ship in the midst of the sea. Now, if evening starts around 6 p.m. and Jesus didn't respond until between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., then the possibility exists that the disciples were fighting those waves for a long time as Jesus looked on. What point am I getting to new hope? You have been working against the waves and the winds for a long time. You probably are near exhaustion at this point. Nevertheless, Jesus is not quick to respond for a reason. He is watching your obedience to his command and looking at how you're working during the waves, despite the contrary atmosphere, despite the wind going against what you're trying to accomplish. But like the disciples, you must remember what Jesus commanded you to do. If we think about it, the disciples could have attempted to turn back or give in to the pressure, but they were obedient to Jesus' command to meet him on the other side. I remind you, new hope, that we should be all working to meet Jesus on the other side. Therefore, despite what we go through, we must realize that we have a destination to go to, which is on the other side. So hang on in there. You see, having observed what's going on, Jesus went to the rescue of his disciples walking on water. That was cool, but it startled his disciples. They were troubled and cried out for fear because they thought it was a spirit. Some writers say a ghost. This indicates to me that in the overnight period, when we usually are asleep, is when the demons are awake and moving about. But thank God for Jesus watching over us. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood that covers us. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood that protects us. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood that seals us. Hallelujah, God. The Bible says immediately after Jesus, seeing their fear, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. In other words, Jesus quickly attempted to calm their fears. New Hope, that's the message for you on today. Be of good cheer. Jesus is right here with you. Be not afraid. Hallelujah, God. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be you, bid me come to you on the water. And Jesus simply said, come.
Yeah.
In this season, the Lord is looking for believers who are willing to step out on faith and answer his call to come forth.
Yeah.
Hebrews 11:6 tells us, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible says when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on water to go to Jesus. How many of us, like Peter, are willing to come down out of that which we're in? The ship of self-doubt, the ship of fear, the ship of shame, the ship of insecurity, the ship of excuses, and overall, the ship of sin, and step forward to Jesus. You see, Peter was an ordinary person like you and I, but he dared to trust Jesus Christ and step out on faith and was able to do the impossible, something that no man ever did. I dare you to trust Jesus, New Hope. You see, Jesus is with you. He's calling you to come forth. He said in the last days, he's going to call the true worshipers to come forth. Where do you stand? Whose side are you on? I want to ask a question to you, New Hope. Who is willing to make the first step? Where are the Peters in this ship? Where are the Peters? Don't worry about those who want to stay in the ship. Jesus is waiting for the one with a willing heart, and he'll do the rest. Brethren, the other disciples were sitting right there. Even though Peter was the one who asked Jesus to bid him to come, they heard the call, but none of them moved. Sometimes it only needs one person, and hopefully the others will follow in pursuit. Who is going to be that one person to step out on faith to get to safety in Jesus Christ? The issue is some people have become so comfortable in the ship they're in, despite the wind forcing and the wave to beat against it to get them out, they're still holding on in there. They refuse to get up because they're focused on the waves and seeing the threat to their lives, and they won't respond to the call of the Lord who is standing right there, right in front of them. They won't take a step of faith to meet the one who came to save them. Hallelujah, God. Is there one who is determined that on today, I'm going to make a step out on faith despite the strong waves and the winds that are going on around me? I'm going to step on faith and get to Jesus so I can move forward on my journey. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. The Bible says when Peter saw how gusty the wind was, he was afraid and began to sink. The point is, sitting in the ship, Peter probably didn't see how bad outside was because it was dark and he was toiling with the others. But when he stepped out into it, he saw the danger. You see, when we're on the inside looking out, we don't see everything. It's when we get out, then we realize that it's not as it seems. Nevertheless, we have to know that when our Savior is in front of us and calling us, that he has us covered. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Seeing and being in danger will put us in a state of fear and panic. So when Peter, being human, looked at the gusty wind and began to sink, at that time his faith was deactivating. Nevertheless, as he was sinking, his faith rebooted and he cried out, Lord, save me. Hallelujah, God. Who is going to call out on today? Lord, save me. Hallelujah, God. We can all try to judge Peter for having a lack of faith there. But what we need to keep in mind all the time is that whenever we start chasing after Jesus, whenever we start answering the call of Jesus, the enemy is going to try to come to trip us up and to stop us. Peter's faith wavered for a moment, but it was his faith that got him to do what no man ever did by walking on water. Also, he had enough sense and faith to cry out when he was in danger. He found himself in trouble and he looked at the master who was standing before him and he said, Lord, save me. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But he cried out to the Lord to save him. To me, that sounds like repentance. He repented for his unwavering faith. Peter was doing fine walking on water and heading towards Jesus until he looked at self and the situation and not at Jesus Christ. Looking at many of us, he looked at his trouble just like we do and not continuously stay focused on the Lord Jesus. Despite that, when Peter cried out to the Lord, the Bible says, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? I want to tell you today that when the storms of life come, all you have to do is cry out and God will respond immediately to your cry. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus was teaching Peter what he can do if he stays faithful and connected to him. Also, those tests were preparing him for the ministry that God had in store for him. Because of Peter's commitment to the Lord, look how the Lord used him later for his glory. Hallelujah.
Yes.
In closing, we need to always want to be in the presence of the Lord. Let's not forget that no matter where we are, he's there. Psalm 139:8 says, if I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. God is present, is ever present, ever knowing, and everywhere. So trust him. We must make ourselves available to the Lord and push past the obstacles, the waves, the wind, and step out on faith to do what he commands us to do. We must learn how to persevere through the winds and waves of life. That's when we'll see God for who he is, and that's how we'll know what we can do by the Spirit of the Lord working in us. New Hope, I encourage you on today. Hang on in there. Don't you ever settle for less than what God expects for you to do. And don't you ever give up, because God won't give up on you. He's able, and he's able to keep you. To God be the glory. God bless you. Again, happy Father's Day to all fathers. Thank you. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.